Hi, my name is Tara.
And I'm Pedro.
And welcome to Hear My Marriage Podcast.
Join us on Saturday nights at 9 p.m. as we talk about marriages.
On Adventist Radio London. Hello, hello, hello. And welcome to Hear My Marriage Podcast. I'm your host, Tara.
And I'm Pedro. Hello, hello, hello. I just kind of froze there for a minute.
And we are back with another episode for you today. And we are glad to be in the house.
Yes.
So if you are...
Oh, and somebody says, hello, everybody. We was told to give it some love.
Yeah. Put some love on it.
That's on the last episode. Yeah, yeah.
So if you are following our platforms, please... If you're not following our platform, sorry, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and X. We are on there. And you can... in all the audio platforms as well, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, all of those places. You can go on there and Spreaker. This is what it's called.
Let me just say this. Why can't you say, follow us on social media? We're everywhere.
Right. That's right.
And then they'll just pick it. You're like naming it one by one. You're going to forget something.
That's true. But yeah, so we back. You know, I talk too much. But yeah.
Oh, so did you remember what season we are in? Season 5, episode. You didn't look it up, did you? I believe it's season 5, episode 11.
Okay.
Or 12, but I believe so. Yeah. Let's see which one it is.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, we want to thank everybody for joining us today. This is Hear My Marriage Podcast. Mm-hmm. And as we said, I'm Pedro. She's Tara. Mm-hmm. And we just wanted to get on to talk a little bit today. Did you find out which one it is?
Yeah. So we're going to be on season 5, episode 11.
There we go. See, I was right.
So yeah. So we back again. And today's topic of our podcast is breaking the cycle of trauma. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And we're going to jump right in unless you have something to say.
No. Okay. I'm pretty much.
Okay. So
let's go to it.
So as I always do, I do a little mini description, which it won't be long. So we're going to be talking about breaking the cycles of our childhood trauma, passing that on to our children. And we know that sometimes when we go through things in our past, it affects us as we go throughout our lives. It affects us in our adult life, our marriage, and things like that. And we can sometimes pass those things that we have experienced over to our kids. And how would that affect them? And how would it affect our overall family as we trying to move forward and get past these things that hurt us? So as we jump into this today, Pedro, going to start off. Because he's the man of the house.
No, you are my helper and my
helpmate.
Yeah, you're my helpmate because that's the word they've been using lately.
But
we equal, so you can pray for us.
Before we start the podcast, I just want to say some things that we may talk about may be triggering to some people. So if it is and it's something that you can't handle, you can, you know, not listen to it. However, I would just thought I'd just throw that disclaimer out there. Yeah. So
that's like saying just get over it.
No, it's not. I'm basically saying
I know,
just letting you know right? That it's gonna be some triggering things that may be said that may, you know, some people can't handle.
Yeah.
So anyway,
we apologize ahead of time.
Right.
So that's what you should say.
Yeah. Yeah, that part. Okay, so we're gonna pray and then we're gonna get started. Lord, thank you so much for this day, for allowing us to talk about this topic. Give us the words to say, to share with someone. The things that we have experienced, and we asking you, Lord, to help us heal from these things that have hurt us and mentally or physically in any way. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your grace and your mercy. I pray yes, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah, so we had this thought process about passing down trauma, mm-hmm. because you've had some trauma in your life, and I definitely have had some trauma in my life.
Right.
As I said, I was broken when I met you. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk about this because it dawned on me one day that, because I've always been like, oh, I've been raising teenagers. And then I realized I have never really raised teenagers. Like, I'm learning as I go along.
Yeah, it's new to us.
It's new to me, too, mm-hmm. even though I have two older boys.
Right.
Because of me being deported, I was there up to a certain age, but then I wasn't there for their teenage years.
Right.
Or like their later teenage years. Mm-hmm. And so I found myself passing on some of my past transgressions or my past trauma to our kids.
Right.
And I was like, I can't keep doing, I got to change up the way I am.
Right.
Because it was almost like I was still living back in 09, 08, 07 when I was with the two older kids.
Right.
And so I was like, we need to talk about this because it's something that, you know, as parents, if you don't realize it, you do it subconsciously, then you don't even realize that you're doing it. And then next thing, you know, you're messing up your kids on purpose. It's just, you know, you can, you know, mess them up a little bit.
Right.
And not even realize that
that
you're messing them up.
And right.
Our goal is to raise good kids and to become good adults, to become productive in society.
Mm-hmm.
So I always felt like we need to, you know, break that generational, you know, curse. I know, like, number one for me, right off the back, I never wanted to have a bunch of baby mamas.
Right. Well, mothers of your children.
Okay, mothers of my...
I'm just saying.
I never wanted to have multiple children with multiple
women.
Right. Is that the politically correct way to say it?
Baby mama's kind of ghetto. But I would just...
are a little ghetto. I'm not going to change the way I am.
I just thought I'd put it, because they the mother of your children. That they're
my you're my baby mama.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
You're the mother of my baby.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that
mother,
it's
the mother of my baby. Yeah, you're the mother of my... I have to think about it.
I'm not making a big deal of it or anything.
I know, you're just trying to be politically correct.
I'm just trying to put a little respect.
I'm being ghetto. But anyway, like I said, so I always wanted that. And even though I did have... children with three different women. Mm-hmm. That was never my intention.
Right.
I always, in each marriage, I was trying to make it work. It just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Finally met you, and we hit 20 in October. So
yeah.
Woo woo. Yep. Yeah. So happy for that.
But it's also understanding where you were at that time in your life when you made those decisions to enter into.
Well, I made the decisions based on the fact that I was planning to be to be with them,
right.
But it just didn't work out.
Right.
For whatever reason, it just didn't work out.
Right.
Because I, you know, my father, he, four children? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But four different women.
Your biological father.
Yeah, my biological father. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think seeing that, I think it just kind of passed on to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, back home, that's also a thing too. Like, you know, the husbands and the men have multiple children with multiple women.
Right.
So it's like almost like it just passed generational thing. So that was one thing that I always wanted to try to break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially with the group, with the three kids we have now.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to break, especially with having girls. Maybe because we was having girls. It really hit me even harder because I'm like, you know,
it changed my thought process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know that may sound a little thing, but it's probably the truth.
All right. So we're going to go with, so I wanted to start with this. So we have like different things that we're going to probably touch on that we can kind of be more clear about what we're talking about. So, with acceptance, so acknowledge and process the trauma.
Wait,
so,
hold on. I'm sorry. You didn't do a thing.
What?
You didn't do a definition or a thing.
Oh, well, go ahead.
Okay.
Peter gonna give a definition.
No, it's not really a definition. It's more the
synopsis.
The transmission of adult trauma from parents to children is documented. It's psychological and sociological.
Mm-hmm.
It's often referred as intergenerational trauma. Mm-hmm. It occurs when the effects of traumatic experience such as war, abuse, displacement, or systematic oppression are not only experienced by the individual, but also passed on to their children, sometimes even across several generations.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just wanted to give a little.
Yeah. That's good. People need to know that. So I want to say, start with acceptance. So acknowledge that you have experienced trauma and that it has an impact on your life. So the first thing is acceptance, knowing that, yes, you have been through these things. And sitting in that reality, knowing that what you have been through can possibly affect your children, your spouse, yourself, and just the overall family. So accepting that, you know, a lot of people don't accept the things that they've been through. They really in denial.
Could it be more recognizing it?
You're recognizing it, but not being in denial. You know what I'm saying? Putting it in the back of your mind, you know, just suppressing it. You know what I mean? Saying, you know what? I know this happened, but I want to forget about it. I don't want to talk about it. I just want to move on with my life. A lot of people do that, but then they don't realize later on how it can creep in. And then you like, wait, where did this come from? You know, I thought, and it could be something that just come about that some type of trigger that somebody done, or a conversation or whatever, can just come about, and you'd be like, whoa, I never dealt with this. You know what I'm saying? And then mm-hmm. now you putting it on to your family, you're not really knowing how to deal with it because you put it in the back of your mind. You suppressed it for so long that you never really heal from it. And you don't realize that you didn't until you experienced something that caused you to come back to a place that you didn't, that you thought that you had healed from.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then you end up starts to filter down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the generational part of it. That's like the circle. I always said to you, I've always wanted to break the circle.
Right.
Like, I just felt like I was going around in a circle, and mm-hmm. I wanted to, instead of going around a circle, I wanted to just go like in a straight line.
Right.
So at some point in the circle, I kind of wanted to go straight mm-hmm. to break that process. You right. know, we have to recognize and break that process and recognize that, like you said, there is something wrong.
Right.
Recognizing. I think, like, for me, it more resonates if I say recognize.
Because right.
to me, recognize is admitting is everything that you just said.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, recognize, you know, because everybody brings in information different.
Right.
So for me, recognize is more of a trigger word
mm-hmm.
that would help me to better understand, because it just incorporates everything. Recognizing that I have a problem, recognizing that I need to fix it. Recognizing that I need to do better, like, you know, just yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
go ahead.
I think when we suffer with unresolved trauma, you know, it just I'm going by my personal experience here in this sense that I always been like a loner.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been to myself, and I think it was more because of, and I've always not been that emotionally. I'm socially to people,
right?
But I'm not emotionally to people. Mm-hmm. I'm not emotionally. I had to work on being more emotional with you,
right?
I definitely had to work on being more emotional with my kids,
right?
But you know, God knew what He was doing when He gave us the girls, because they're very hug, kiss, love you, you know, want to be up underneath you, you know, and that mm-hmm. forced me to out of my comfort zone
mm-hmm.
to be more affectionate,
yeah.
to be more, you know, towards them, and to be more just more loving towards them, right. You know.
And I want to add, with that, seeing the girls, particularly right now, but the girls, I did not talk about Pedro, but with the girls, knowing that they can have that type of connection with you as their father, knowing that they can get a father a hug, and knowing that they can come and talk to you, knowing that they can be up under you, those things are important for our children as they growing up, because now, especially with the girls, because knowing that when they do have a man come into their life, they'll kind of know what that look like in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? Not in the sense of a man treating them with disrespect or abuse, or not being loving towards them, or they don't know, you know,
they'll be able to recognize it.
Right. So just knowing where mm-hmm. that, what that, the healthiness of being affectionate to someone look like. And I think that's what you're showing the girls. And
well, that we was going to get into that, because it was, you know, one thing you have to realize, like, what age do you start teaching them mm-hmm. or showing them?
Mm-hmm. I think it happened naturally with you.
Yeah, but I think we also started when they was young, though. We, mm-hmm. you know, telling them, you know, being honest about what happened in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely, you know, some people be like, wow, that was kind of young to be telling them that. But we've always been very transparent with our kids and telling them
yeah.
what we went through in the past,
mm-hmm.
Good and bad, because we want them to see and, you know, understand, you know,
right.
how to do things.
Right.
You know.
And one thing I want to add also with how you show your affection towards our son. How you give him a pound, and how you give him a kiss on the forehead, and how he lean in, give you like a man hug, and
actually gives me hugs.
No, I'm just saying that type of affection towards our son has showed him how to be connected to you as his father,
mm-hmm.
and also show that same type of thing maybe to his friends or to other guys that he may be around, but knowing the difference of a healthy connection in that way.
Yeah, I mean, that, well, it's weird because I said this before, like, at night, before, I tuck my kids into bed. I don't care how old they are. I still tuck them into bed.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really say tuck them into bed, but when they get in bed, I go and I say goodnight, give them a kiss.
Right.
And a hug. And like, he used to give me like a pound and he'd bring his head down. But then lately, he's been giving me a hug. Mm-hmm. So I give him a hug back.
Yeah.
So I, you know, he's 16. So I go more on
how he feels,
what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I go more based on, I don't try to force the issue.
But you know what? Well, you know, one thing I noticed that it started out kind of small because you wasn't in inspection. But then as time went on, I noticed that it did come from a pound to a touch to now a hug.
Yeah,
now,
because,
you know, to like a little thing. And now it's a whole hug. So now it was steps. It was
because that it went in. Well, because we didn't get into this. I wanted to get into the because like at a point I was emotionally unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
I was traumatized. Mm-hmm. I was distant, even with my kids, even with my wife.
Right.
I would just want to be by myself, mm-hmm. just go off and be by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes I think the one thing I had to realize is that like when he had like my temper, passing it on to my kids.
Right.
And like I could see that I was passing it on by the way I was behaving with my wife,
mm-hmm.
and so like we got Pedro in the boxing bag where he can. I told him if he gets mad, go hit the bag. And you can tell when he's mad and when he's not.
Right.
When he's just working out. It's been working out lately though.
It has. Since we have done that, he has.
Oh, maybe because I'm not home at the time. I just haven't heard him hitting the bag as much.
Oh, I have. He still do it.
Okay, see, he's doing it. He's doing it when I'm at work. Right. So.
Yeah,
like when he first gets home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's because remember he used to do it like around 8-9 o'clock. You know, like he used to do it before he went to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I guess to kind of burn some energy to go to sleep. But he hasn't been doing it, so that's why I think it's
Yeah.
But you know, that's probably one of the best things we ever did for our son was to get him a bag,
mm-hmm.
So he can learn that because I didn't have that and I had a lot of anger build up inside, which is. What started the process of everything of us being here in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole nother story.
Right.
But I think for both of us, we had to fight through our parenting style.
Mm-hmm.
We had to fight through our emotional unavailability because you was emotionally unavailable too sometimes.
Yeah, I could be.
You know, you shut down. Mm-hmm. When you get frustrated, you just shut down.
Yeah.
And with the girls and with Junior, you can't shut down. You have to fight through that emotional unheaval that you're feeling or that emotional thing that you're feeling because you have to deal with the situation.
Right.
You know, even the mood swings, you know, not being overprotective. Yeah. So as I would be probably emotional distant, you were definitely overprotective.
Right.
Where you just thought like just peppering.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't even like give them a chance to answer. You ask a question. Like,
hello.
And then they trying to answer you like the next question.
Yeah.
You did the other day. And I was like, babe, calm down.
Like, let them get it out first.
This is a work in progress.
Right.
What we're talking about is not something that we have mastered.
Right.
We are still working on this, passing our trauma onto our kids because we still have moments where we still do. So I just want to put that out there too.
Mm-hmm.
And you was like, I was like, oh. He's like, because what you like to do is you like to go from one thing to the next.
Right.
So like, if there's a problem, you get it fixed. But then you go to another problem, like, you're like finding problems unnecessarily. Like
what about this? And what about that?
Yeah,
and what about
this? Yeah. And what about that? Like, ease up. Like, you know, ease up. But nah, you know, and you knew because you normally you would have told me
one thing I noticed that sometimes I can kind of, you know, be like tone of vision, mm-hmm. and I just be like, you know, what's and not really listen to the answer, but just, you know, I'm answering more questions as I'm listening to the answer.
No, your problem is that when you ask the question, you already think you know the answer.
Yeah, that's
so you've already
too.
Gone to the next
that's
question.
That's the problem too.
Because you're asking the question, mm-hmm. but you already know the answer in your head.
Yeah.
So you're like, I already know. So, and then you, even if it's somebody else answering the question.
Right. But one thing I like, we're talking about acceptance is for me, I had to learn in my experience, in my own childhood, things that I've been through has been, you know, trying not to avoid the things that I have experienced and knowing that that's something I don't want my children to go through as well, because I know how it affected me and how it still sometimes affect me. And I just try to, you know, this is why for me, for my mental health, I clearly I'm praying to God when those thoughts come cross my mind sometimes. And I'm like, Lord, just take it away from me, because I think you try to deal with this. And I think it's important for, and I just say, Lord, heal me from this, from this. Even if I'm watching a movie that sometimes have something in it that kind of, and I say, okay, I can't watch this movie, because now it's, you know, it's bringing back those, you know, it's like flooding my memory again. Mm-hmm. So I really had to be mindful.
I don't watch certain movies for that very reason too.
Right. So sometimes I have to not watch certain things.
Like I couldn't watch SUV. I can't watch SUV.
Yeah.
Going on the SUV. It's not that the stuff happened to me. Mm-hmm. It just triggers me, especially when they have like an episode about a child or something being abused.
Yeah.
Or it triggers me. I want to go through the TV and just.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though I know as an actor.
Yeah.
It just triggers me.
Yeah.
Plus I can't. Plus I've seen other actors acting in other movies,
right?
And I'm like,
I can't watch it. So, you know, so those type of things, just understanding that and knowing that, okay, I got this issue that I'm still dealing with, even though the Lord is helping me heal through it. And, you know, knowing, just trying to protect my children from myself, you know, most times I'm just trying to just, you know.
Well, that's why we have each other, because when I see you going off or going to another place, I was even in front of the kids.
Right.
And some people are going to say, you shouldn't do that. Mm. But I do it in front. It's not like I'm rude to you. I just be like, babe.
Right. That's just like not too long ago when you had a little episode, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Peter, chill. You know, like,
That's what I'm saying. We have to be able to correct each other. You didn't get mad at me. You was just like, okay, I need to. Because you didn't realize you was doing it. And I was like, babe. Like, take a breather. Like,
right.
Chill out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, relax.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, okay. And you kind of stepped back. Then you sat there and you was like, okay. Because normally you'd have been like, you know, you would have went off and be like, no, you ain't going to tell me what to do. But
you know, at that time when it was happening, right, I was looking at you. And I was like, okay, it's something more to that. So, you know, I didn't want to, you know, go off on something that I really wasn't sure. But I knew it was something. I just wanted to come and speak to you about it, like, you know, you're okay. You know, are you okay? You know, like what's going on? And when you explain yourself, I was like, okay. And then I understood where it was all stirring from. You see what I'm saying? Because anything, mm-hmm. sometimes that if anything caused you to become very, you know, upset, it's coming from a place. You mm-hmm. see what I'm saying? It's coming from a root place that has caused you to then react the way you're reacting. So
that's why everything we do in our parenting style is from what's happened to us in the past.
Right.
You know, from not letting our kids go out.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that we have to work on.
I think we have gotten better at it.
No, we let them go out a lot more than we ever thought we would at this age, at this time of their life.
Right. Because I think what we're both trying to do here is allow them some type of freedom to build trust with them. To say, you know, I know that we got to let them do some things,
mm-hmm.
knowing that we did our part as parents to be able to trust them out. When they out, they let us know where they are. They text us, like, I got here, mom, dad, whatever. So, and then they come back on time. You know what I'm saying? They not coming back an hour or 3 hours late. I'm like, where you been? Looking? So they not putting us in a situation. Oh, if they're
running late, they say the buses.
They let us know. Mm-hmm. So they are diligent on letting us know what they're doing. So I think that also helps us to allow them to be able to do things when they showing us that I'm responsible enough.
Actually, it's one time that didn't happen, but
yeah,
it probably never happened again.
But you know, that's, we can't expect for it to be perfect, innit?
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I went into overprotective dad mode. I blew up.
Yeah. So
I don't think that will ever happen. I don't think that will ever happen again.
I think with that happen, I think things like, you know, things when it don't go right have to happen in some sense to show us and our children that, look, this is serious. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that you're safe. We want to make sure that you're in a position to be able to contact us and all of these things like that. Let us know. You talk to us. You know,
I think it allows the child, because I'm not going to say who, but it allows the child to realize that we care about them.
Right.
And that our main concern is their protection.
Yeah, that's it.
And so that's why they never like argue, because normally they would debate and argue, but they just sat there and took it.
And I also
didn't even say nothing.
And I also think for us, we trying to build that trust with them to let them, because at some point, if we don't, they're not bad kids. It ain't like they out there in the street and they just want to do what they want to do, or they leaving home, or I'm going to do it anyway. You know what I'm saying? They coming at us and we...
It's, and you know what's funny? Because along with this, with the generation trauma, as Adventists, we can be very overprotective and we can be very overbearing when it comes to the world. And one thing we have to realize with our children is that when they become adults, they're going to go into the world.
Yeah.
And I think that's why a lot of, because a lot of kids I know went into the world after they got out of the house.
Right.
They was into church every Sabbath, Wednesday prayer meeting, Sunday pathfinders, all those things. And then as soon as they got into an adult and they got out into the real world, into the university or college or whatever, then they got a taste of the real world. Guess what they did? They went to the world and they left the church.
Right.
And so I always said to you that I want our kids to
experience
it now, because if they experience it now, they'll see that they're not missing nothing. And it actually has been working, because like with Junior, like he has friends that are not Adventists or not even Christians.
Right.
And he's like, oh wait, chill. No, I don't. That's not my cup of tea. But he's at sea, so he's already getting that understanding. So when he gets older, my hope is that when he gets older,
right,
and then he will keep his faith, and that he will stay in the church, because he already knows he already kind of has an idea what's in the world, and he knows what's in the church. So my prayer, my hope is that that's what's going to happen with him,
right,
and our girls too.
Right.
So because I think we have as a generation trauma, even in the church, we try to protect, we try to be overprotective, we try to make sure everything is perfect, and then when they get in, and then they just don't, you know, they don't cope well.
Right. I think it's good to let them do some things, and trusting that, like I said earlier, as parents, that we're doing what we're supposed to do so our kids can experience some things in life. Because they're going to, and we have to be able to adjust ourselves to it, you know, period.
Yeah. And just put that trust that we know that they're going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And every time we've done it, they've done the right thing. They're going to mess up.
Yeah,
I'm not saying they're perfect. They're gonna mess up, but as of right now, they're doing the right thing.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
As far as we know, I don't trust nobody. I trust you.
Yeah.
I trust God and I trust you. But when it comes to my kids, they're kids. So they still, they could be like, yeah, and then behind, you know. So I'm not naive to think that that's not possible.
Yeah.
But, I do believe our kids are.
Making good decisions while we're not around.
Making good decisions.
So that's the main thing we can pray on. So the next one is recognizing the impact, which you kind of touched a little bit. So it's understand how the trauma has influenced your thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. So recognizing the impact on, like for me, because I was I was sexually abused when I was younger, and it was not something that it wasn't a good experience for me. And I'm just talking about me right now. And it's definitely when I said, Lord, when you bless me with kids, it's something I do not want my children to experience. And that's why I stayed at home with my children. God blessed me to be able to do that because my husband is a worker. Thank you, Jesus. And so I was able to be home with my children and raise them. And for me to keep them safe, it helped me. You know, because I don't know what I would do as a parent if my children had experienced sexual abuse like I did when I was younger. And
I'd be in jail.
It was hard. It was hard. And sometimes that's why I said watching certain movies is hard to look at. And I told my children about my experience, my girls and my son as well. And, you know, and I was like, look, this is why I chose to be home to watch you guys, because I could have been doing so many other things, but God has also allowed me to still stay in ministry, to still do my bodybuilder business. So I'm happy about where he have me at now. So no regrets there. It's just that I'm just glad I was able to raise my kids. And for me and my mental is to keep my children safe as long as I could and can. And so that's exactly why, you know, you know, and it's definitely something that I just never wanted my kids to go through, because it's something that you don't get over.
Yeah, I was too, and I was on SA, mm-hmm. and it affected me sexually. It affected me in so many, you know, ways, even to the point now, like, even with the girls, I've given them their privacy since they was about seven.
Five, six, seven.
Mm-hmm. I stopped. Mm-hmm. I was like, I took care of them, gave them baths and everything. Mm-hmm. But when they hit about five or so, or six, I was like, it's your turn.
I was like, I did it. You're taking over.
I was like, you're taking over.
Yeah.
Because they start, you know, especially like Kaya, they just mature faster now.
Yeah.
So I was like, nah, you take over. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even Junior, when he was able to start taking his own baths, I can't remember the last time I've seen my kids naked. No, I'm being honest. I mean, I can't remember the last time I've seen them naked, because right. it's been that long.
Right.
Like, I've given them their privacy. Once they was able to do things on their own, and I don't need to be there for themselves, why do I need to be in the room?
Right. That's it.
I've always told them that. I was like, mm-hmm. unless you really need me, you know, thing. And I can't remember the last time I've seen them, even Junior. And he's a guy. And I'm a guy. So, you know, it's not like we have the same thing, but even then, I'm still not going in, like, going to the bathroom to say, hey, just, you know.
Right.
I just think, because I just don't, that's always been in my mind, that I wanted to make sure I gave them that, you know, that privacy and that respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and mm-hmm. so that when they get older, they know that it's not okay. Right. You know, I don't want them to think that it's okay, because then they may think, oh, I could just be around other people and just be, you know, half naked and. Right. It's all right. No, it's not okay. Put on some clothes. Even with, like, Sky, she come down, she likes to wear her little, you know, thing. I'm like, go put on some different pants, or go put on better a better top.
Right.
Go put on a different top. Like, right. You got me and your brother up in here.
Right.
You know, you got two men in the house. Go put on some more clothes, you know. So, you know, because she's very, I don't know how to put it. I don't want to say she's girly, because she is a girl, but she's just over the top sometimes. Right. I'm like, you know, Sky, you have other people in the house. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes she thinks she lives on her own. Mm-hmm. Like, she's an adult.
Right.
She's paying bills. Yeah. Whatever. Anyway, I digress. But anyway, So I think we have to model, we try to model our behavior to them,
mm-hmm.
so that they can learn how to be better adults as they get older, better teenagers, right. to young adults and to adults.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we had, like, I trying to teach them how to handle stress.
Right.
Because we didn't do a good job of it, mm-hmm. growing mm-hmm. up.
Right.
I
think learning how to maneuver your life through things like that, and mm-hmm. and knowing, you know, what's the right thing to do when you with people, and like when I finally start dating and all of that type of stuff, just knowing mm-hmm. Or getting into relationships and stuff can really you're trying to figure out, you know, what's the right way, you know, to do things, and that's just something that we trying to pass, you know, on to our kids.
Yeah, even I talk to people in general.
Yeah,
remember the other day I was like, June, you don't talk to people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, dude, you mm-hmm. gotta talk. I was like, why don't you try it?
Right.
And when he tried, he said, oh, she was so nice when I talked to her. I said, see, like, you gotta treat people. I think the generation is so broad when you say about generation trauma, because
mm-hmm.
the trauma can affect you in so many different ways that you would talk to people a certain way or not talk to people a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talk to each other. That's why in a household, I know they go back and forth, but sometimes I'm like, guys, you need to, you know, don't be so mean to your sibling.
Right.
Like, sometimes some of the things you're saying is just absolutely, you know what I mean? And sometimes it's absolutely funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the other day, I'm still laughing about what Kaya said the other day. That was one of the, because it just came out the blue.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think, and you know what I think also, which is important, is for us to distance ourselves from toxic people, mm-hmm. and relationships that may trigger us in ways and that will perpetuate an unhealthy pattern for yourself. I think it's so important for us to stay away from toxicity. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not good to be around some people that's always got something going on.
You know what? Not even that. I, you know what, though? I think because we do that. See, this is where we as the parent, that's what we're talking about. So we're trying to break that trauma. So they see us like that. So when they see us, they now see it. So if they're around one of their friends and they're too toxic, they're like, nah, I'm done. You're too toxic.
Right.
And they leave them alone. Especially Kaya. Kaya be like, she'll cut quick.
Yeah.
Because Kaya's already, you know, socially still trying to find herself. So if you're toxic, Sky will stay a little bit longer just to make sure. And Junior will too. He'll give me the benefit of the doubt. He's such a good kid. He'll get the benefit of the doubt. And then it's, you know, then he's like, all right, it has to be so blatant to him sometimes, you know, but that's what I'm talking about with us. Like, that's what I was saying. Like, with us, we, the way we are, the way we act, the way we handle things.
Right.
If we, it's even when we are hurting, handling in the way that it will show them how to handle it.
Right.
So, like, being honest to them and say, look, this is what's going on. I'm hurting, but this is how I'm going to handle it.
Yeah.
You know, like, even like with me, with my temper. I've been more cognizant and making an effort to be more calm.
Right.
Because one thing I don't want to do is like, if we're always yelling or we're always talking loud, then when they get older, that's all they're going to do because they saw us doing it.
Right.
So I've been trying to be more calming, more like, okay, listen, let's figure this out and then come up with a plan.
Right.
You know, to kind of, you know, to show them that we don't always have to react emotionally.
Right.
You don't always have to react, you know, like the world's about to end. You don't always got to react like everything is going bad. You know, things happen.
Let's
fix it.
It does.
Okay, this is what happened. How can we fix it? Then we come up with a plan. We fix it. Then we move on. Right. Let it be. Don't sit there and harper on it.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that's our trauma. That but we always that's our trauma, and I'm trying to stop that with our kids.
You know what I think is important as well is allow yourself to feel, you know, allowing how to let yourself feel. So don't suppress or avoid your emotions. Allow yourself to feel sadness and anger, fear, or other emotions that may arise as you process trauma. And I think sometimes when I'm feeling a certain way, I cry. I just cry it out. And be like, you know, and I think crying really and just letting all of those feelings and emotions out, things that you have went through really do help you get, then I feel better afterwards. You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, okay, you know, I went through it. Yeah, I'm feeling this way. But I cried, I sit there and I pray and I talk to God and I get through it. You know what I'm saying? I think it's just important for us to not, it's okay to cry. It's okay to just give yourself a moment to just take it all out there. And I think that that's just important.
Especially as a guy, it's okay to cry. Crying is good. I cry all the time.
So just finding that way to express your feelings, even if it's just talking, or if I'd be like, Peter, you know, I was feeling this way today, you know, and I was just feeling emotional. Finding somebody to just talk to and somebody that can that you can connect with that will be understanding. And just listen, you know, and sometimes it's hard to find people to just listen because everybody got an opinion most times. But I think it's just important for people to just have someone to just listen sometimes.
But that's why we have each other.
Yeah. I'm just saying some people don't have
a partner. Some people don't have.
That's what I'm saying. Some people don't have a partner or, you know, even if it's your mother or your friend or your cousin, somebody that you can trust that would just listen to you and just let you get it all out and being, you know, be like, okay, I'm good now. You know, that's important because if we don't address our feelings, if we don't deal with our emotions.
If you don't have anybody, you can write it down.
You can write it down.
And to get it off that way.
You can journal it down. You can
journal it down and write it down so that you can get it off your chest and get it out there.
Yeah, I think what I had to learn is not judging myself, not blaming myself for my past trauma. Be like, well, maybe it was me or maybe it was something, you know what I'm saying? You know, why me type of thing. So, you know, when we learn not to judge ourselves and not blame ourselves for the things that we have experienced, then, you know, and just say, you know what, it happened, but it's, guess what? It's making you stronger. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's going to allow you to be mindful of what you do for yourself, for your kids, and who you're around and who they're around, it just allow you to be keep your eyes open at all times. You know what I'm saying? I think sometimes we trust people too fast, and we think that we can keep it, let our children be around certain people and thinking that, oh, I know them, it's fine. But then sometimes you really don't know people. You see what I'm saying? You don't know people behind closed doors. And I think that's why my kids be like, can I go spend the night? No, you cannot. We don't do sleepovers. You know what I'm saying? No, they be like, why? I said, because you cannot. You know, because I don't know people behind when they at home. Okay. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, no, I don't play that.
Okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, no, because you.
I was going down the rabbit hole. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, you was gonna start repeating yourself. So I was like, that's like if I start repeating myself, you're like, okay. Let's get out of that circle. We're going in a circle. Then we're going in that repetitive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going in that cycle. Break the cycle, baby. Break the cycle. So yeah, pretty much like we're talking about breaking the cycle. So as we said, we talked about all the different, like, just the trauma that you have as growing up as a child and past, and then onto as an adult, and then breaking that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it was just like you said, like with the sexual abuse. Also, even with the domestic abuse that we encountered, even with the issues in our marriage that we encountered, I think that was because a lot of the trauma that we had from the past. So we had a lot, with God's help, we had a lot of prayer and work together and a lot of conversations to get us to where we are now. And we're still a work in progress. We're still working every day because every day is something different. So even to this day, 20 years later, we still work on our marriage. It's not like we just stopped, like, because I don't want people to think like we just don't. We still work on our marriage on a daily basis. We still have times where we have to sit and take a minute and break that circle because the trauma, because it's weird. Triggering words, triggering ideas, triggering visual aids, whatever. I don't know what I'm saying it right in that sense, but
right.
I could trigger you sometimes not even realizing that I triggered you.
Right.
And you could trigger me sometimes. Like you said the other day, I kind of thing, and you had this, you probably have been like, what's wrong with you? Why are you acting like that? But you was like, wait a minute, what's really going on? And then I explained, you was like, oh, okay.
Right.
You never said that before. So it's like, you know, you learn, you know, okay, maybe I need to be like, okay, what's really going on? I do that with you a lot now too. I'll be like, hey, babe, what's really going on? Like, why are you, you know, it's like, what's really, you know, bothering
what's
you?
What's eating at you?
Yeah, what's really bothering you? Because you normally don't act like this. So what's really bothering you? So, like, I think we learn to be more cognizant and more understanding and definitely more attentive to each other.
Right. And I think what has helped me is overall forgiveness from the past up into the present. Just forgiveness, you know, and you do it for yourself. You do it for your
Yeah, because you can forget some things, but then sometimes you sit in there and it just floods you.
It floods you and you just like...
Yeah, and you see something and it just like, you know... It's that classic, you know, when they say, oh, you know, I was looking at my kid and he did something that reminded me of my husband.
Yeah.
And it just irritated me. You know, like, and then you find yourself yelling at him because he did something that reminds you of what I did.
Yeah.
You see him doing something that you think he's going to do like I would do.
Yeah.
So you just, you know, you go right into like that mode of don't do that. And you're like, wait a minute. He's a different kid, like a different person.
You know what I also think is important too is setting healthy boundaries for yourself. And even though we married, I still think it's important to establish and maintain healthy boundaries in a relationship to protect yourself and others. So I have boundaries set for myself, you know, towards you. And I'm sure you have the same for me. And it's only like a mechanism that you pick up to keep yourself safe from something that
I only have one boundary.
You feel attacked or something.
I only have one boundary for
What's
us.
That? What?
I've always said this to you.
For yourself or for?
For me.
Okay.
Towards you.
Mm-hmm.
Only one boundary.
What's that?
That boundary is, I've always said to you, don't treat me the way you want to be treated.
Yeah.
Don't do that. I hate you want to be treated a certain way, but then you want to treat me a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
No, because I've always treated you the way I want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my one. That's the honest truth. You know this to be true. I don't complain about nothing else. The one thing that eats me up and gets me upset is when you start treating me. And I'm like, wait a minute. If it was you, you would want the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or you want to be treated the same way.
Right.
That's all I'm asking. Just mm-hmm. treat me the same way that you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
And we're good.
Right.
So that's my one boundary.
Definitely. Definitely. And
I'm just saying for me, I'm just right, saying for me, that will, that's my only thing. That's the only thing I ever have. And you know this to be true because I've never said anything else about that. That's the one thing that gets me riled up is when, you know, in when we're in our thing and you don't want to treat me the way I want to be treated, the way you want to be treated.
Right.
You know, like, I'm like, nah, you want the same thing. Why is it that I can't have the same? Why can't I express how I feel and you respect that or you, you know, want to do it?
Right.
You know, because sometimes we get into an emotional state and we, you know, we're a little mm-hmm. mad at each other, you mm-hmm. know? So
I think with the boundaries that I have for you is just, I guess for me, not that you, I guess my boundaries was more early on, you know, just protecting myself in a way mm-hmm. of watching what I say to you or not.
Wait a minute.
I'm not letting you speak to me, you know, in any type of way. You see what I'm saying? Like, no, you ain't going to speak to me no any type of way.
Wait, what?
Know your flavor, you know, so to for me.
Know your flavor, because don't get started on this program.
But other than that, you know, I have respect for you, and I expect for you to have that same respect for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But when you cross the line with me, don't cross the line. That's all I'm saying. Just stay in your lane.
I'm just saying
how I feel. Anyway,
yeah, you're saying it a different way because, of course, you have to be different because you tower. That's right.
However, I think what me and you have both established in our marriage is accountability. We have mm-hmm. learned to take accountability for our ways and how we act, our actions. Because one thing, words are like a knife; they cut like a knife,
mm-hmm.
and what you say out of your mouth, you can't take back. You see what I'm saying?
Nope.
And then you when you go to your spouse and be like, you know, I'm sorry, it's hard to, okay, you know, I appreciate you apologizing, but you said this to me out of your face and you suspect for me to just forget it. You know what I'm saying? You can forgive, but you won't forget. You know what I'm saying? It's in your mind
mm-hmm.
because you felt that way and you said what was on your heart. And what's in us, the Bible says, what's in our heart will come out. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, be mindful what you say out of your tongue, you know.
And see, this is why I said to you, I think I said this to you before. I think my, I'm gonna go there. My abusing was because of the trauma that I received
mm-hmm.
and some of the things I saw
mm-hmm.
growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when you do something that I don't like, my first reaction is to lash out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've said this to you before, that I will always be, it's like I'm not considering myself an addict, but I'm saying it will always be there. There's times where I will still have to mentally calm myself
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because you may say something to me that really triggers me.
Right. And this is why I say I just want to
mm-hmm. just knock you upside your head. And I'm being honest because
mm-hmm.
we're being transparent. I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
But I told you this, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just say to Tar, just give me 2 minutes. And that's like code word for I really need 2 minutes.
Right.
Because knowing
when to remove yourself from a heated situation or a heated conversation is important on both ends.
Yeah, yeah. And respect the other person's wishes.
Right.
Because like I said to you, that I will always, and I know you hate me saying this, but I always will be an abuser for the rest of my life because it's in me. It's mm. something I grew up with. And I'm trying to get it out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about in breaking the cycle and breaking mm-hmm. the trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you have a smart mouth.
I must admit.
Wait, let me finish.
Go ahead.
You have a smart mouth. You have what you can hurt with words, and you can be very, very ding. I think that's where Kai gets it from.
Yeah.
Because ding. And so it can be very, it's like we're fighting each other.
Right.
In that aspect.
Right.
So, you know, hopefully.
But what was learned here through our marriage, what you have learned is self control, learning how to control yourself, not letting yourself loose and letting yourself go, learning how to manage your anger is important. You know what I'm saying?
It's deeper than that. I had to learn how to talk to you
mm-hmm.
when you're mad.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
Right.
Because when you're mad, if I say something that would trigger you, you're going to say something to hurt me back. And your words, I admit, your words will hurt me more than my words will hurt you. And then I get mad, and then I want to hurt you physically.
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned to manage the way. I told you before, like when we're having a discussion sometimes, I'm actually thinking what I'm going to say next. I'm actually like a book. Remember those books that you used to have where you read?
I said what I said. Learning how to self-control.
But it's not just self-control. It's learning. Is learning how to talk, because remember those books where you're reading a story and they say to go down door one, or go down door two, or go down door three,
right?
And it has a different story for each door.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel like I do with you sometimes. I'm sitting there myself thinking, if I say this, this is what she's most likely going to do,
right?
If I do this, this is what she's most likely going to do,
right?
And if I do that, this is what she's most likely going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So then
mm-hmm.
I have to decide. What do I want you to do
what you want me to do?
Right. And I know that sounds, but it really does work that way.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. It's not, so it's deeper than that.
Yeah.
Because I have to, you're consciously making a mental effort and a mental process of like, okay, this is what, you know, and then showing that in front of the kids to not even showing in front of the kids, but just, I think just...
If we have an argument in front of the children, we will sit for a minute, then we'll, if the children's still around, or most times...
We'll stop.
We'll apologize. But like, look, you know what?
No, we'll stop the argument, though. If we... Because the kids know us. And sometimes the kids will be like, hey, mom, dad, chill. They got to the point where they'll be like, yo, chill. Like, why are you guys acting like that? Like, come on, guys.
What y'all arguing for?
Yeah, what you arguing? Like, is it really that deep?
Is it really that deep? Mama, did daddy make it? Or daddy, did mama say, what did she say? Like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it really diffused it really quickly. So, I appreciate that. I really do. Because I think just because we the parents doesn't mean we don't get in.
Well, we try to have open communication with them.
Yeah.
Even because they're older now. They definitely have age where we can talk to them.
Yeah,
candidly, and not
mm-hmm.
and not worry about how they're feeling.
But you know what's important though, when you're trying to come out of something, you know, just have a compassion for ourselves. You know what I'm saying? You know what? Yeah, I was this way, but with God, I've been changing, trying to be a better man or a better woman.
Oh, definitely.
You see what I'm saying? You know, encourage yourself to know that, and you ain't gonna always trouble ain't gonna always continue to stay there.
You know,
if you allow yourself to be healed, if you allow yourself to grow, if you allow yourself to take criticism from people that's giving you good criticism, allowing to be open-minded about things so you can move forward to be better in your marriage, better for yourself, better for your kids, better for your overall life. And I think it's important for us to know how to prioritize our compassion for ourselves and just, you know, love ourselves. Love yourself enough when you're going through situations that are not healthy for you to walk away from it. Mm. Love yourself enough to encourage yourself to say, you know what, I can't continue on this way because it's just not working. So, you know, just that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, just thinking about what you just said, yeah, definitely we got to love. I just thank God that he has brought us to where he has brought us.
Mm-hmm.
And that he has worked on us to where we can be to where we are.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about something else too, like you was talking about with the kids. Like I think we was talking about this the other day. Like we're a very jokey family.
Mm-hmm.
Like we was talking the other day, like the things that we laugh about. Like our worship, we have worship and we you know, read a devotion or whatever, and then we start talking. We could start talking for an hour, and then we just start cracking on each other. Like, we're constantly cracking on each other. But I think it's good.
Yeah.
Because it shows our kids, because we didn't have that growing up.
No.
My worship was, you know, be quiet. You know, we had to sit there with my father talk for an hour. And then he'll pray for another hour and a half, you know, like, literally, like.
You want to pray the demons, though.
Oh my goodness, man. You'd be like, Dad, it's like, it could be 12 o'clock at night. He's still going to do a 15-minute prayer. I'm like, Dad, can we please go to bed? Like, I'm falling asleep.
Oh, goodness.
You know, because he's praying for something. And that's just, you know, we grew up like that.
Mm-hmm.
But just breaking that, we just, I think we really are trying our hardest to break that cycle with our children. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as parents, we need to break that cycle. Just what's the word? Acknowledge and not locate. What's the word? I'm trying to think. Recognize. What's the word? when you're trying to pinpoint something, well, pinpoint the problem and then work on it.
Yeah.
Get if you got to get therapy, if you got to get pastoral help, if you got, like you said, if you got to go to a friend or a family member, if you just got to, you know, write it down, you know, you got to figure out what the trauma is and then work it out. Mm-hmm. And you do it in stages, baby steps.
Yep.
But yeah, so that's all I was thinking. I was just thinking about that when you said
The thing is, don't be selfish and stay in your anger. Don't allow yourself to be at a place where you not take responsibility, not accountability, nothing. You just like, whatever, it ain't me, it's you. You know what I'm saying? It's always the other person.
You're talking about a narcissistic person. That's a whole different.
No, I'm just saying some people do stay. Oh, when they're going through things in their life, and it can build so many things going through them. Anger, it can build hatred, it can build a lot of things, and people won't start taking responsibility for their ways. You know what I'm saying? Not allowing themselves to get through whatever they went through that's causing them to be where they are. So now it's never you, it's someone else. It's ain't me, it's you, you know, type of situation. No, you got to be able to recognize when you messed up.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, because I know where you're going with it. But like I said, you're absolutely right. So.
All right. So we at, oh, you want to hit the button?
Which one is it again? This one?
That one, yeah. All right. We at this part of our show, guys, where we bring our cards in. We have our intimate cards where we talk about the past. Well, the cards have the past, random, life, relationship, intimacy, and about you. Which one you want to do?
I don't care. Pick one.
Okay. Let's do life. Can you put that away? No, it's green. I'm saying, can you put this away? Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna shuffle these cards real quick, and we're gonna discuss this before our hour is up. You mixed up
the ones that we've already.
No, I didn't. So Pedro gonna pick a card. I'm gonna pick a card, and we're gonna do a quick synopsis of what it is. Pick, 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 pick.
Give me a card, woman.
I'm trying. Okay. So I'm gonna pick one too.
Oh, okay.
I've kind of talked about this on
right here. I don't know, can you?
Oh wow. Okay. So you can go first if you want.
All right, I'll go first. Mine is, what is the craziest thing you have ever done, and would you do it again?
What's one of the craziest things you ever done? And would you do it again?
Oh my goodness. I have to think. Go to yours, because I gotta think of that one.
Okay. So my card is really what we kind of talked about. What boundaries can we set to protect our relationship and communication from being damaged by technology?
Don't be on it.
Right. I think if we...
Number one, don't be on technology. I mean, right, no, we use... It's funny. We use technology like we use the technology now.
No, I'm saying boundaries, though. The boundaries. You can set boundaries.
Limit what you do. Yeah, limit.
Like, let's say I'm on Facebook. Whatever, and you come in the room and you're like, babe, I want to talk. And I'm like, you know what? I was on Facebook. Let me get off my Facebook. Okay, and give you my full attention. You see what I'm saying?
You picked the wrong thing.
No, the card came out.
Hey, no, but you picked the wrong thing to say because you don't get off. That's the point. Okay. I'm like, babe, you know what? Get off.
Okay, so from now on, so this is what I'm going to do.
You want to be transparent? Okay, you don't get off. I'll be like, babe, can you stop? You're not listening.
Okay, from now on, what I will do, sir, is make sure that if you coming in the room or something like that, and I'm on something, whether it's Instagram, whether it's whatever it is.
Watching a movie, watching a show.
Yeah, I'll be like, okay, let me put it on pause. Okay, what is it? You know,
from your lips to God's ears, as they say.
But you know,
and we will see if that happens.
The point is that you start.
I have faith that you're going to do it.
The way you get through things is you have to make a start. So the start is I have to do that. boundaries between TV,
did you just hear? Did you say what I said? I said I have faith that you will do that.
Oh, yeah, in Jesus' name.
I just said that I have faith that you will do that.
Okay. So, were you going to answer your question?
What the boundaries can we do? Okay. Yeah. That's for both of us. Yeah. Because I do it too sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, don't you see me watching? Don't you see me doing something already?
I'm like, wait, I'm sorry. Then you want to talk to me. Then you want me to refocus my brain to what you're saying. Then I have to recalibrate my brain talking about.
Wait. Number one, if I come home from work and you're looking at something, I don't know that. I come home from work. You know I'm on my way home because we're talking anyway. So you know I'm on my way. So you should already have your mind ready to talk to me. And to see how my day went.
You cannot tell me I got to have my mind already ready.
I can tell you if I want to.
That's just like me saying, Pedro, you have to already know what I'm thinking. Whatever.
No. I said recalibrate your brain and know that I'm coming home. So know that you need to talk to your husband and see how his day went. So you should already.
I always ask you, so baby, how was your day?
I know that, but then I start telling you, you watching something while I'm telling you,
and I feel like, oh, okay, that's nice.
Yeah, I'm like, don't ask me a question. Like, that's my point. Exactly.
I did this. Okay, then.
That's my point. I don't know. What's the craziest thing I've ever done, and would I do it again? I've done some crazy things in my life.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if I can even say it on this program. Oh my god. I don't, do you have a craziest thing that you've done? Would you ever do it again?
I can't think of nothing at the moment.
I can think of some things. But I'm not going to blow you up like that.
Yeah.
You know some things on me, so it's not like we both know of each other. That's the thing. I don't know. I kind of plead the fifth.
Yeah, I can't think of something, the craziest things I ever done, and would I do it again? I don't know.
We'll come back with that one on the next episode. We'll start off with that on the next episode, and we promise to answer that question because we always say we're gonna answer the question.
You gotta make sure we get the card out so
I
remember.
But to be honest, I really at this moment
I can't think of anything.
I can think of multiple things. I'm just trying to think, how can I say the things, or can I say the things? So
But
we are actually out of time.
Yeah, we are.
We want to thank you all for joining us today on Hear My Marriage Podcast.
I'm your host, Sarah.
And I'm Pedro. And we hope that you will have a great day.
That's right.
So.
All right. So. Bye, guys.
Thank you, Ventures Radio London, for listening. Mm-hmm. And thank you to all our other subscribers and listeners. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you all. Continue to support by listening, liking, and saving.
Sharing.
And sharing. To everybody, even your enemies.
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
All right, guys. See you later.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Peace.